You're listening to BDGX.com. Welcome to Girlfriend, the advice show with a twist. I'm Jeff Newman, and this show, of course, features our psychic and special guest, hypnotherapist Cynthia Chavan. Hello, Cynthia, once
Hello,
again.
Hello, Jeff.
Good to see you again.
It's good to see you.
Also,
it's good to hear you.
Likewise. Yes, good to hear, and hopefully everyone's hearing us right now. Also on the program, Cynthia's husband, television producer extraordinaire and hypnotherapist, and a guy who does a lot of research and always has a smart thing to say, John Miles. Good morning,
Hello.
Good afternoon, and good
Hello.
Evening, John. Hey there. Now, when I tell people that tune into Girlfriend, we have a very special person, amongst other things, amongst the various things that that make up her background, she's a psychic. You either get the roll of the eyes, or you get, well, how, when, why, and where, the things that are associated with being psychic, whether it's Kreskin and Uri Geller from when I was a kid, bending spoons, or even a John Edwards who channels the dead, those kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Cynthia's story is a little bit different. We've told it many times here on the show, but why don't we just give a brief background on the psychic ability, because one of the things that I find intriguing is that Cynthia didn't just become a self-proclaimed psychic. These were things that she started feeling and then didn't even want to capitalize on it, wound up doing things for free with this new ability. Is it like a sixth sense?
For me, and it addresses each individual individually. Some people, their psychic ability comes out in their writing, their art, just intuitive flashes, how they communicate with people. For me, it's information that just flows. It flows naturally. It's called a clairsentient, I believe, if you have to name things, mm-hmm. which I'm not too particularly fond with naming things, but the information drops into my head. I just sit down and have a conversation with a person. Through the conversation comes their information. It's a very heartfelt situation. I do it to create, or I should say, I do it to have the opportunity in someone's presence to expand their awareness of their potentials, their direction, what their views are on life, and stretch it just a little bit to include perhaps a larger view. So I look at myself like a yoga specialist in psychic ability. I take my psychic ability and give information that will help stretch that person to a larger potential.
Is a good analogy something like when I walk into a room, if someone's been popping popcorn, I can smell it and I'll go, oh, that's popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it that natural for you to get the information? So it's not something you work at or try?
Clarity I work at. Clarity.
Okay.
Keeping myself out of another person's business and keeping my opinion about something out of the other person's business, keeping judgment out.
Mm-hmm.
But I also try to do that for myself because I believe judgment is a lost set of energies that will lead you down a road that just keeps you in a repetitive pattern that doesn't allow you to find new resources. So I try to keep my ass out of their program.
Gotcha.
It's interesting. Pardon? Actually, we were having dinner a couple of evenings ago, and sometimes Cynthia is more open or can see things differently. And this one was interesting. She said, I can literally see little signs above people. I don't know if that was a visual thing for her, but she said, oh, lonely. Oh, trying to prove something. Oh, and it was sort of like people were carrying around a little graphic.
Right.
Wow. Over top of them. And I said, it's time to pay the bill and go home.
Well, I had just done 23 readings in a row, 6 one day, 8 the other, and I forgot.
So sometimes when she's too open,
that, right?
I know that I sort of have to say, well, let's not go down this road. We're going to put you in the car, take you home,
right.
Throw you in the bathtub with some salt water.
Which is why when I was making the popcorn smell analogy, that's not exactly accurate. I was, and I'm glad you answered me honestly, I was thinking of how natural it is to you, but that's got to be very difficult for a human being to be able to see things that most don't, or realize that you're seeing and feeling these things that most don't. How has that, again, you say it's conscious and it's hard work for you to not be judgmental and not do, that's got to be a constant. That's got to be 24/7 for you.
Absolutely. But it's something I would do with or without being psychic, because I do believe the road to knowing oneself is to eliminate judgment, anger, fear, hostility, the things that lead us in a repetitive past pattern. Anger, to me, it has to have a historical background. You have got to have a reference material in order to be angry. So it's not a present state of being. It's not me being here now. It's me being in my past, associating my present with something from my past that had a historical bad ending. So it eliminates curiosity, it eliminates wonderment, it eliminates the ability to be creative. Anger, judgment does the same thing. Judgment can only occur when there is a historical piece of information that the moment is attached to. So I work very hard in staying present and curious about the situation, whatever the situation, whether that be in my life or whether I'm observing somebody else's life. And that goes naturally into, and I attribute that as to a part of my reading that probably made it more finite, more definite for me to do because I had to do it in the reading. Otherwise, you're giving somebody your opinion instead of their reading. And they're not there for my opinion. They're there for their information given with clarity, a sense of wisdom to it, a sense of commonality, friendship, mm-hmm. friendship, very good, a sense of non-judgment. They're not there to be judged. They're there to find their awareness about themselves and to set themselves free of their limitations. They're not coming to me to reinforce their limitations. They're coming to me to free their limitations. And the way you free your limitations, in my mind's eye, is to free yourself from your past associations of anger, judgment, mistrust, and look at each situation as an opportunity with curiosity and an ability to connect to it, not disintegrating your history, but even watching your history without anger or judgment or a predisposition to go to one of those places.
But how about those who don't come to you for a reading? How about in everyday life with your husband, with your daughter, with neighbors or people who you meet in the bank? How do you channel the judgment appropriately?
Well, first off, I try not to be judgmental, and if I catch
myself.
But you
have to. Everyone is.
You'd be surprised. After a while, you don't.
I'm driving down the street. If someone's driving too slow, they're a slow poke. If they're driving too fast, they're a maniac. I'm making the judgment.
Right.
You know, everyone does that.
Right. Well, there's a difference between an assessment and a judgment. Okay. A judgment means that what you're doing is wrong and your intent is bad. This is my language. An assessment is they're moving too slowly for me to get where I want to go. So my judgments I withhold. Assessments everybody has. But it just depends upon the emotion that's attached to the assessment of the present situation.
In your mind, not verbally, mm-hmm. in your mind, do you always make those judgments?
You mean judgment or assessment?
Both.
Well,
the assessment,
he's
driving too slow, right. I think he's an idiot.
Right. Well, I can tell you that it's harder the closer it gets at home. So I can find myself going into judgment about John pretty easy.
Okay.
All right. But I stop myself and I go, okay, you're not present. Is this where you want to be? Is this where you want to come from? Is this who you wish to be? Is this how you wish to experience this moment, this life? And it's gotten much more rapid in my mind's eye to go from point A to point B. So whereas before, maybe it would take a day or two or three to get out of my judgment, and I was sitting there in anger about something or other, which was a historical reference point. And then finally I come around and ask John and say, well, what did you mean by that? And once I went into the state of curiosity, oftentimes I found what I was angry about had nothing to do with the situation whatsoever, that it was just my assumption which led me to an anger about what I assumed he was doing.
To me, that's like having the answers to the test, but not really looking at them until you take the test. But they're right there.
Yeah.
But again, in your mind, it's not really cheating. Is that your way of just dealing with life as a normal...
What is it that you're asking? What is it that you're asking about?
She intrigues me. The fact that she could have the answers to the questions, but she's not going to go there.
Well, because have a...
Whatever it might be. Why is my husband in a bad mood?
Right. I got it. Because when it comes closer and closer to home, there's a projection. You know, I have on many occasions, just like anybody else in this world, I have assumed more about John and put my assumption of myself onto John, over-identified with John, made my value system about John. So it takes a moment because we all have emotions and they do drive our cars every now and then, mm-hmm. and you find yourself and you catch yourself and you go, I'm over-identified. I'm not in my present state of consciousness. This is not who I want to be. I am in my past. Let me see what my past is trying to say to me. Because I'm not sitting here with this man. If I'm not asking him what he means by what he's saying, and I'm just going into assumption, I am not present with the next person. I'm only present with myself. And that self that I'm present with is my past self, not my now self. So, yes, does it take practice? Of course. But it does get easier and easier and easier and much more natural. It's much more natural for me now to go, oh, Cynthia, you're not here. You're reacting. Do you want to react or do you want to respond? Do you want your power or do you want to give away your power? Because if you respond, you're giving away your power. You don't have any choice. Where's your choice? Oh, my choice is to take this moment and say, you're not present, Cynthia. Where are you? What fear are you giving credence to? What fear are you giving energy to? What do you need from yourself that you're not giving to yourself?
You're listening to Girlfriend on BDGX.com. Cynthia Chavan is the prophet that we're listening to. And actually, she speaks in a book that was written, I'm not even sure how long ago. The book is called Fortune Cookies, Wisdom from 20 Years of Psychic Readings Revealed. And it's by Cynthia Chavan and John Miles, both of whom are we always have the pleasure of visiting with every week here on BDGX.com. And, of course, if you want a copy of Fortune Cookies, you can go anywhere you would for books, correct? You can go to your website, CynthiaChavan.com. That's CynthiaChavan.com. And the other side, of course, is Two Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Two Dragons. Cynthia Chavan is, that's her website. Two Dragons is our website with television, this podcast, this radio show, our
shoes.
Books.
Shoes.
Shoes. Because Cynthia believes
good for the soul. Good for the soul, baby.
Cynthia believes in wellness. Nutritional supplements, things that we use and can recommend. Those are places you can get all that stuff.
Now, Cynthia, I alluded to some what I consider unusual psychic happenings in my past, in my life, that whether they're psychic or not, these things have happened. Does everyday normal people, or do everyday normal people have psychic moments?
Absolutely.
On a regular basis?
Absolutely.
How do you recognize those? How do you take them seriously? Because it is unusual.
Attention. Pay attention. And the more attention you give them, the more they fluidly they'll grow and they'll flow, because you're giving your energy to it and you're giving your awareness to it and you're giving your thoughts to it. And where your thoughts go, everything follows. So if you see that instead of course, it comes without going into judgment that why didn't I listen to myself? Mm-hmm. Why don't we say, gee whiz, that was interesting. I got that piece of information. I'm going to tune in to that information more often. When you don't judge that you missed the cycle, or you heard something you didn't follow through, like buying a stock and you're sitting there kicking yourself in the ass because you didn't buy the stock. Well, bottom line is, if you're sitting there kicking your ass for not buying the stock, you're not in your intuition. You're going to miss the next stock.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get another flash. You have to realize it's like mass transit. It's always going to come. Sometimes it's a little delayed, but it always comes. The bus is always coming. Information is always coming. Intuition is always coming. So if you miss that piece of information, not to focus on what you miss, but focus on that it's going to come again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes people get information and they're warning signs and signals, and you don't get another opportunity. Particularly if you're getting information about someone else and you're giving it to them and they're find themselves where they don't listen and something, you know, happens to that individual, which we have recently experienced, but you still listen. You don't give up just because the outcome wasn't the safety of the other person.
Could you tell us a little bit about that situation?
Well, recently a friend of ours, and I'm going to keep this kind of innocuous only in respect to the family and mm-hmm. to the court case and the situation that's going on, because I do believe in being totally respectful of somebody else's views of the world, so these are my views.
Sure.
They had information, it was a motorcycle accident, and they had been warned a couple of times not to ride their motorcycle in a particular section of town, that there would be some kind of criminal activity. And the criminal activity was actually a drunk driver, and the individual was killed by a drunk driver.
Let me interrupt you. They were warned by who?
They were warned by their girlfriend, who on two different occasions, with much energy behind it, almost hysterical, requested that this individual not drive in a particular area of the city.
And was that your interpretation of that a psychic warning?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's important to know, I think, that everybody sort of labels psychic as something that's not them.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is somehow not them. Intuition happens. It happened to me yesterday. I got this very strong impression that I should call a particular client, and 20 minutes later, they called me. And I just looked at it and said, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We have that all the time, where the phone rings and I was just thinking about you.
Right.
That happens to everybody. That's the perfect, easy example of what this is. Paying attention to that, focusing on that, making yourself aware of that. That's what Cynthia does as a psychic, and she's just further down the road. It's more integrated into who she is.
Any tips on how to recognize when those things happen as opposed to coincidence?
They resonate through my stomach, through my esophagus. It's a body position.
Really?
It's a feeling.
Okay.
It's a feeling. It's not a thought specifically. It's a thought and a feeling at the same time.
For me, it's a feeling, absolutely, and it's a determination. I have to do something. I don't know why I have to do it. Such as that individual I was trying to reach for a week, and I just had to call him. I just had to call him, but never got in touch with him, never returned my calls. Didn't know why I had to get in touch with him. And just following through. It's a nagging sense of information. That's that. A reading's differently. You just sit down, you flow with the information. But psychic or intuitive or flashes of information come to people all day long. That's why some people were in the towers and some people weren't in the towers.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard all kinds of stories about, I don't know, I just had a feeling I had to go to work today. Or as one woman said to me, one of my clients was telling me about a good friend of her that wasn't in the towers on 9/11, and it was because she overslept, first day that she ever missed in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and she just couldn't go to sleep that night. She couldn't figure out why. And she overslept, didn't hear the alarm. Something inside of her was nagging and telling her something that she couldn't quite articulate or hear clearly, but it was on the back of her mind, and it kept her awake, and she thought it was about one thing, and it's about something totally, completely different, and it kept her from there.
Speaking of the towers, and more specifically speaking of the motorcycle incident you just spoke of, dealing, again, this is a show about advice, and it does have a twist. Dealing with loss, we have all done. Dealing with sudden tragic loss is a whole new ball game. Someone comes to you with this tragedy that they have to deal with. Are there any steps to help cope?
Well, yes, but not at the immediate time. All you can do is be there with them at the moment. Then after they have released all the anxiety, or at least some of the anxiety about someone who they cared about no longer being in their presence, which I have a thought process on that. I think that we integrate with each other's energies, and when somebody leaves, that energy leaves from your system, and it's a hole and it's empty, and we fill that and we call it grief.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, it's a vacuum. And you can literally look at it and start to fill it. Historically, we called it grief. So we have a historical reference to grief. And I do believe it comes from literally the empty space that happened. People say it all the time. I can feel my heart break, or I can feel like somebody pulled something out of my heart. Well, I do believe that is an actual physical realization of the energy leaving your system that you have integrated with that individual. When this individual left, I could literally, as full as this world is, feel that somebody was missing.
Wow.
I could feel that soul not present. That doesn't mean they're dead in any way, shape, or form. I fully know that they're alive. However, I could feel that they weren't present.
Let me give a quick analogy for that.
Mm-hmm.
We've all had people in our life, and let's say, you know, with kids. You know when the kids are in the house. And you know when the kids aren't in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
That's a good one. And it's literally leaving your system. So energetically, your body has to rewire itself without that piece of energy that person has taken or taken a place of. And willfully, too. Most of the time, it's willfully. It's where we call it, we give our heart to that person.
Exactly.
We've integrated with them emotionally. And when those emotions sever, we historically, and I think it's because of a lack a long time ago of awareness that we are energy and we continue on. It was just a philosophy and not an actual knowing that it fills up with grief, because it's really our grief about not seeing them, not that they're not there, but our loss of what we lose with them. We've lost the ability to talk to them. We've lost the ability to see them. We've lost the ability to laugh with them. And I think that's what we grieve over, the energy that's lost, because they're not dead.
I want to deal with that. I want to deal with also the difference between grief and depression. And we'll do that in a moment. You're listening to Girlfriend on BDGX.com.
Come on. Come on.
Laptops, MP3 players, cameras, video games, cell phones. In times like these, schools can become a shopping mall for thieves.
Got it.
Don't become a victim of crime. Leave your valuable stuff at home. And if you do have to bring them to school, keep them with you. Write down their serial numbers and don't flash expensive items around. Be smart. If you have something cool, there's a good chance someone else will want it too. Keep cash and ATM cards in a secure place and never give anyone your PIN number. And don't leave your school bag lying around where it can become a temptation to someone else. If you have something stolen, report the situation immediately. The sooner you tell someone, the better the chance you'll get it back. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how to prevent school theft. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Girlfriend on BDGX.com. I'm Jeff Newman, and of course, we are joined every week on Girlfriend by hypnotherapist and noted psychic Cynthia Chavan and hypnotherapist, television producer, editor, and good guy, her husband, John Miles.
Hypnoterrorist.
Hypnoterrorist. Somalian pirate.
Hypnoterrorist. Yeah, not kidding.
Add that to your card.
I think that might be a website.
It might be very telling.
Hypnoterrorist.
He will terrorize that you, hypnotize you.
So we were talking about grief, and the way that the conversation started was that there was an instance where someone actually foresaw something potentially happening. Now, in dealing with grief, where does it end? Where does depression set in? I was actually told that grief is, in fact, depression for a short period of time.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that grief is truly what Cynthia had said, that grief is that person in our lives. We integrate each other at some level, and their soul, their spirit, their energy, their harmony, whatever it might be called, then resonates in us. And when then that person leaves, it leaves this hole. And the crying and the grief, to me, is reconnecting back to the universe. This is very cleansing. Mm-hmm. And you fill that energy back up with yourself, your true self. I'm not sure about depression. Maybe holding on to those attachments. Because sometimes, you know, particularly for men, We're not big criers. Mm-hmm. That's not something we do for a living, as naturally as perhaps other people might. And I wonder sometimes, as a guy, if we hold on to things, and if holding on actually services the person that left, services us. You know, we're told to be stoic and whatnot. When this other person that we're talking about had left, I was shocked, and I actually did cry, not bawling, but I cried. I could feel the emotion come through at the service, and there was singing and whatnot. And in a strange way, I sort of saw that as honoring that individual and letting that person move on. And I wonder if we hold on, if that in any way, shape, or form has an impact on them. I wonder.
Hold on to them, or hold on to the grief.
Anything, you know.
Onto the memory, and maybe, I think part of it, not just for men, but there might be a sense of guilt as well.
Always.
What could I have done?
I wish
I would have.
Always.
Not just because of the tragic incident, their life.
Oh,
I wish I would have made amends 20 years ago.
Sure.
Or I wish I had said this, or I wish I would have been there at that time.
So is that part of grieving, or is that adding to what could be termed depression?
I think that's part of a natural situation that people go through when they see or they're evaluating, did they fully extend themselves at every opportunity? Mm-hmm. Which gets back to living in the now and not in the past. When you're not in anger, you're fully engaged in the now. When you're in the now, there's nothing to regret when somebody leaves, because you're going to say you love them. You're going to say, I really like you. You're free with your words because there's not a recompense that happens. There's not a charge. It's not attached to, if I say this, I'll be judged for that. If I say the other, I'll get my hand slapped. There's no predisposition to hold back. Not that you don't use your history. You do use your history, but again, like I said, as a monitor, just to make sure that you're driving where you want to and you have a reference material.
Now, once an acceptable period of grief has passed, mm-hmm. whether that's a week, a month, or a year, whoever the individual is, however long they're going to grieve, how does one stop from being depressed over the fact that by internalizing the loss, oh, I lost my mom, I lost my best friend, how am I going to continue? I don't have someone to talk to about this. How does one deal with life going on mm-hmm. without those elements that have been constant to that point?
You fill the cup back up. I think depression is a natural body energy slowing down as that energy is leaving. We call it depression because we have to label things, but to me, depression is just a slower cycle of the self. It's not meant to be harmful or debilitating. It's meant to be honored. Your body slowing down and letting that thought, that energy, that connectivity leave. And the more gentle you are with yourself, a self, a person is with their self, the easier the depression will lift, because you don't have the thought process that I should be doing something else other than this. That puts more on top of the depression. It's like being depressed about the depression, and then you get depressed that you were depressed 2 days ago, and then all of a sudden it's a week later, and now you're depressed that you've been depressed for a week. Mm-hmm. So it just builds on the depression instead of allowing the energy to just leave you, and realize that when something is leaving you, the whole body slows down, just like it slows down when you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the judgment of what we should be doing that comes in that makes the cycle larger. Once you've got an idea that I don't have to judge myself for where I am at this moment, it's not a bad moment, your body, in my mind's eye, my thoughts, my philosophy, starts to fill itself back up. And it starts to laugh freer. And it starts to see things that it didn't see before. And it starts to enjoy things again. The mind starts to engage again. The thoughts are no longer in the past. They start becoming more present with where you are and what you're doing now.
As always, great advice, Cynthia Chavan. And this is Girlfriend. What I want to do as we close out, we could talk about this for another hour. We probably will someday. Again, the book Fortune Cookies, I'm just going to open up to a page and read one, and then I'll let you explain it in full. And I don't even know what I'm about to read, but it says, we find ourselves in our children, then we heal our relationship with our parents. That's self-explanatory. I get that one. I'm going to spin the page again. We are all in common creation, with individual attitudes about it. Well, again, these are great because we can all internalize each one of them. But tell me about that one when you conceived it.
Oh, most of my fortune cookies that have come to me just come to me in the readings themselves, or just as in the last radio show, you said you heard a fortune cookie.
Right.
You know, where does it come? I have not a clue. It just rolls right out. And sometimes it sets me back, and I got to look at it and go, wow, that's good. I got to remember that one. I got to make sure I do that one. I better pay attention. So is it self-talk? I think it's self-talk, but I think it's also a release of wisdom. And wisdom is what the universe is made from. All your answers, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. All the answers are there. You plug in, and if you get used to asking, the answers roll before you ask the question, because they already know that you're going to ask the question, whoever they are. Notice that I have they all over the place, because I got they in the mayonnaise is in the refrigerator. That's because New Orleans has they, we dysfunction.
This is Girlfriend on BDigiX.com. Thank you for clicking on us. Thank you for tuning in. We will do it again next week. John Miles, as always.
Thank you very kindly. I enjoyed it.
Good to have you. And Cynthia, you can reach them, and you can also pick up your copy of Fortune Cookies at www.twodragons.com, and also Cynthia's website, www.cynthiachauvin.com. That's Cynthia, C-H-A-U-V-I-N.com.
Thank you.